Good morning, church family. Happy Sabbath. Thank you so much for being here. It is a blessing to come together and worship and hear heavenly music to rejoice our heart and to put our minds back to what it's supposed to be, to think about God and to praise God for what He has done in our lives. Let us pray before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for your goodness. Father, we are here because we want to worship you, because you deserve our worship. And Lord, we want to thank you. Father, each of us have so many things to thank you for. And Father, our hearts are rejoiced because you are truly faithful and merciful God to us. And Father, we want to pray that as we study today, that Jesus will be lifted up, that your Holy Spirit will be here to speak to us and help us. Father, I pray that you will calm my nerves and that you will be the one speaking. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for those that don't know me, my name is Yolanda Mello. I am married to Justin Mello, that guy. And I know a lot of you guys hear my husband speak because he's part of SAS and the Bible Worker here as well. And disclaimer, I'm not a preacher. I'm just a Bible Worker. And I do better one-on-one. So please have patience. If I don't pronounce something, please feel free to help me out. My husband, I already trained him. If I don't say something correctly, he will help me. So you will hear his voice here and there, okay? So before we start, I just want to share with you guys a story about Jorge. This happened in August 2003, in Peru. In Peru, there was a suicide case that was taking place. And there was a young lady that had committed suicide. And this person, this young lady, was married. So they went and find out who is her husband so they can come and get him, so they can share with him what has happened, that his wife is no longer here, but she committed suicide. So he came, he cried, he was really sad, and the whole family came together and, you know, did all the funeral service and everything. After 4 months, police officer in the department, they came and they said, you know what? There's something missing here that doesn't quite make sense. So we want to ask the husband to come and give us his report again because we want to share with him, okay, there's something that's missing. So we want to let him know. So they call him. He shows up and he shares with him, okay, again, his side of the story, where he was at and what happened. But as they were talking, he was like, he couldn't keep it in him anymore. So he started crying and he said, I confess. I was the one that took the life of my wife because I have found out that she was cheating on me and I wasn't really sure. So I went and followed her and did everything, and I saw her with this other man. And I couldn't take it anymore. So I went back home, and there was no one but her. So I took the time, and I took her life. And I went back to work, and when you guys got there, it was like if she committed suicide, because I make sure that the scene that appeared, that's what you guys were going to get. So he started crying and confessing that. And because within these 4 months, he was really not at peace. He wasn't happy. He wasn't okay. He thought about, you know, taking his own life and everything. So they're like, okay, so you confess. Well, you have to pay for your punishment. You know, your punishment will be to go to jail, and we'll see how long they're going to give you. He goes to court. They give him 15 years in prison. They sent him to prison. And as he was arriving there, you know, getting ready to put on his uniform and turning in his belongings and everything, he was in line, and there was an officer next to him. And he just turned around to him and spoke with such an authority. He said, Jorge, you have a long time to be here. A lot of things happen here. And if you don't look for God, you will not survive. Look for God. And he turned, and as they called his name, he kind of like, oh, woke up from that interaction with this officer. He goes and gets his number and everything, and he looks and tries to look for this officer, but yet never again he sees this officer. After a while, he made friends with a young man that he was there in prison, but he had no clue that this young man was one of the most powerful drug dealers in Peru. They invited him to join them to be part of the group, but he said no. As he was there a couple years after, obviously when you're in jail, you don't have the privileges that we have, you know, TV, phone, radio, and things like that. Well, he was able to find a radio. How that radio came about, he doesn't know. But he was able to find that radio. And during that night, when the officers will turn off the lights, he will put on his music and listen to his music. But there was one night that his music was not getting the best signal. So he was going on and looking, okay, well, I have to look for another station. And he came across someone sharing the word. And this pastor was talking just to his heart. And every night after that night, he was listening to that radio station over and over. He was able to write to this radio station and ask them, well, who is this God that can forgive me? Don't you guys know I'm in jail? Don't you guys know what I have done? God, you know, he saw what I did. How can he forgive me? So they gave him Bible studies. They were sending him things. And then again, he comes across a cell phone in jail. So he took the cell phone and he starts calling or dialing numbers, random numbers. So he starts dialing those numbers, and every time he will get an answer from the other side, he will save that number, and then he will send them Bible verses that actually affected his own heart. So that was his thing doing there. After for a while, he gave his life to Christ. And in 2018, last year, he was released. And now he serves in our church as a Seventh-day Adventist deacon, faithfully preaching that God can change you. So with that being said, I invite you guys to please turn your Bibles to Proverbs 4:23. And we're going to be sharing a little bit about the heart. And I want to ask one question. Church family, where is your heart at today? Proverbs 4:23. If you're there, please say amen. Amen. The Bible tells us, keep thy heart with diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The gates of the heart need careful scrutiny. Why? Because things happen in the heart. And church family, can you please point to me? Where is your heart? This is our organ. Our heart is here. This is where you make decision. Your character starts here. Why do you think that the enemy attacks your frontal lobe? Because your frontal lobe is when you make decision whether to stand for God or not. Your decision, why you watch, why you hear, why you listen, what you eat, everything starts here. This last couple of weeks, doing a little detox, and definitely, I have to cook for my husband, because if I don't cook, my husband will disappear. So I have to cook, but I can't eat. So I'm like, okay, I'm not eating, but I'm like smelling. And I was like, here, Justin, taste this. Or is it good? Is it not good? But I was like, no, I have to have self-control and temperance not to eat that. So man, that was, it's challenging. I have a few days more to go, but it's been challenging. But here is where I have to make the decision. Just like Daniel, he purposed in his heart, right? So I purpose in my heart not to defile my body. We have to purpose in our hearts. In Bible commentary, it tells us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Diligent heart keeping is essential to a healthy growth in grace. The heart in its natural state is a habitation of unholy thoughts and sinful passions. We must watch. We must guard our hearts. Because if you want to worship God in truth, if there's anything that it's not holy, that does not glorify God, then it's not going to impact you as a Christian. In TMK 35, it tells us, it is time now when we cannot for a moment take the spiritual eye from Christ Jesus. His dominion to us is, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Is there one professed Christian who needs not the warnings and whose heart will not bear watching? The heart must be kept with all diligence under constant watchfulness. And that's why I believe King David in Psalms 139, if you guys can turn there with me, please. Psalms 139. And King David, we know him for a lot of things. King David was the one that took another man's wife, that got her pregnant, and killed her husband so he can wash his hand and no one would know, right? But the eyes of God watches everything. But yet God, seeing this, what David had done, he gave him a chance to repent. And see, that same God gives us a chance as well for us to repent from the things that we have done. And for that, I give him glory. In Psalms 139, 23 and 24, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Let that be our prayer every day. You know, as been studying a little bit the life of David and what he's been, you know, what he went through and how he came to be a man after God's own heart, I decided to make these two verses mine. Because see, we don't know. You might say, well, I know myself. I know if I go to that place, I won't do that. I won't drink, I won't smoke, or I won't touch or eat or whatever. You think you might know where you stand, but believe me, the heart is deceitful. So we cannot trust our own selves, but we need God to help us. And when the Lord reveals to us what it is in our hearts, let it not that be something to discourage you, but let it be something that will bring you to God and ask him to help you and to thank him that he has revealed to you what's in there. But why is it so important for us to watch and to guard our hearts? Well, the Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When the thoughts of evil is loved and cherished, However, secretly, said Jesus, it shows that sin still reigns in the heart. The soul is still in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. He who finds pleasure in dwelling upon sins of impurity, who indulges the evil thoughts, the lustful look, may be holding the open sin with its burden of shame and heartbreaking grief. The true nature of the evil which has been hidden in the chambers of the soul, the season of temptation under which you may be, one falls into grievous sin, does not create the evil that is revealed, but only develops or makes manifest that which was hidden in the latent in the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For out of the heart are the issues of life. Many thoughts make up unwritten history of a single day. See, you don't wake up just one day saying, well, I'm going to do evil, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. But you have to be dwelling upon those thoughts. It starts here, and then it becomes action. And whatever you are dwelling upon, if God is not taking a spot in your heart, and if you are not dwelling in God, then someone else is going to come in because there's nothing guarding your mind. So that's why we have to watch. It is very important. I don't want to tell you guys that you shouldn't. Man, these heels are high. I don't want to tell you guys, don't watch this, don't go here, don't do this, don't eat this, because I could sound legalist. But I'm talking to you guys by experience, my own experience. See, when I first came into the church, I never had Bible studies. No one gave me Bible studies, but I came to a series of evangelistic series, and I fell in love with the Word of God and Jesus, and the truth that I felt like I was neglected of. I was like, where was this? No one told me that there's a day of rest. And especially coming from a Hispanic home with 11 brothers and, you know, sister siblings, mom and dad, cooking and cleaning and changing diapers and everything else, I was like, I need a day off. But see, God gives us a day off. But yeah, we want to do our own thing. We want to work. But see, when I came and I experienced this, I had that first conversion with Jesus, and every day you're converted. Every day you have to surrender to God. But it was just like I was in awe with so much truth that the pastors were sharing, and overwhelmed, and I was like, okay. But it was just like back to back, and I was like, okay, I'm just trying to chew on this. You're giving me something else. And I was like, you know what? At the end of that meetings, I decided to give my life to Jesus. But no one told me, or no one shared with me, the things that I shouldn't be doing, or what was okay, what wasn't okay. There's things that we must definitely should be your own personal convictions. But there's things in the Word that we don't need convictions to come in. But the Word of God tells us it is so. But that's why it's so important when you guys do hear, you know, that we should watch what we eat, we should watch what we see, what we listen to. It's because we need to guard the avenues that the enemy can come in. And if we're not watching those things, then it will be really easy for us to be deceived and to call good evil and evil good. In Matthew 12, 35, let us go there. Matthew 12, 35. The Word of God tells us, a good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. And as well in Matthew 15, verse 19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, death, false witness, and blasphemies. Where is it coming out of? Out of the heart. Out of the heart these things come. And with who you spend time with, well, that's what's going to come out. Do you behold Jesus? Are your thoughts focused on Jesus? Do you delight to speak about Jesus? Or do you enjoy gossiping? Where is your thought is? In manuscript release, Sister White tells us, you do not know your own spiritual condition. You are lacking in every heavenly grace. You should humble and carefully examine your own hearts, your own individual characters. You need to open your hearts that light may shine upon your darkness, that you may see and understand your motives. The apostle injunction is, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves what is in the character of your thoughts, your spirit, your purposes, your words and action. Compare them with the scripture and see whether you represent the character of Christ. Go to Jesus humbly and break your hearts, hardened by feelings of bitterness and hatred. Let the grace of Christ soften and melt you, that you may put away everything that it is destructive of your peace. If you do not see your heart in the light of Jesus Christ, self-love will prompt you to have much better opinion of yourself than you deserve. For the heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? See, if we don't allow God to reveal to us what is the condition of our heart, then you might just think that you are good, that you have arrived, and be self-righteous, or focus on others that have not yet arrived. But not only that, but as well, you know, when someone preaches, and when someone delivers the message of God, straight from the Bible, and as Seventh-day Adventists, we believe that we have a prophet. But when someone preaches from the Bible and uses Ellen White, but just because you have an issue with that individual, you will not take it just because who's preaching it. And sometimes we block the Holy Spirit that wants to speak to us and wants to use that individual that you don't like to speak to you. But that's human nature, right? We want to hear who we like. And because sometimes of our actions, we give a misunderstanding. And we don't allow the words from that individual to break our hearts. And we don't allow what that individual has to say to us just because of who they are. Or they have done something to you in the past that you're holding to that, and you're not allowing that, because whatever that individual says, you go against, just because it's that person. And it shouldn't be that way. If that person is speaking truth, then guess what? Humble yourself and take it. Do not hold nothing against that person. Why? Why should we do that? Aren't we here to learn? Let us humble ourselves, because if the Lord needs to do it, believe me, you and I would not like it. But let us allow the Spirit of God to reveal to us what is it that is pushing us away from your truth. God is giving us eternal life through a broken heart. But it was not the spirit thirst. It was not the pain of the cross that caused the death of Jesus. That cry uttered with a loud voice at the moment of death, the stream of blood and the water flowed from his side declared he had died of a broken heart. His heart was broken by mental anguish. He was slain for the sins of the world. That's what killed Jesus, a broken heart. Have you ever experienced being heartbroken? You and I would never experience in the same sense of Jesus having his heart broken. Why? Because at the cross, he gave his life for you and me. And maybe you could be sitting here, but it's your heart close to God. See, we can be here at church doing everything, but yet our heart so far away from him. Where's your heart at? Has your heart been broken? When you study the scriptures, does it come alive to you? Does it break your heart? Does he share with you? Can you see Jesus in his word? Do you, when you study Jesus in the light of the cross and everything that comes with Jesus, which is his doctrine, his teachings, and everything else, the standards that God has called you to live up to and has called me to live up to, does it break your heart? Does it break your heart because Jesus did everything for you, but with your lifestyle, you're not choosing him? See, we don't have to say it with our words. Who do we stand for? Just look at your lifestyle and ask yourself, not no one else here, but you yourself ask with your own lifestyle, where are you standing? Such a time as this in history, when things are taking place and things are happening, exciting times. I'm excited, but yet at the same time, I'm scared. But I trust in God. If I stand in his word, I'll be safe. And we can be safe in Jesus. But where is your heart at? Has the word of God broken your heart? You know, when I was younger, I used to watch a lot of drama movies. And every time I would watch a movie, I even forgot what's there, but back then, I used to watch it not only just to watch the movie, but it was like me living my life through them, through that novel. I was like, oh my goodness, like that movie's over. I have to go find another movie that will excite me, that will get me excited to see that I want to be part of that, because my life, it wasn't something that I wanted, but I was living through them. And see, when we put things like that first, then the word of God to us comes, what? It's boring. It's not cool. There's no love. There's no passion. But now, praise God, that I have put those things away. And when I read the word of God, oh my goodness, there's everything in the word of God. There's everything. And there's some language right there that you don't even know that it was there. And when I read things like, you know, that describes a powerful thing, like this is better than novellas. Do you know what I'm saying? So the word of God, put away things that distract you guys, and let the word come, the word of God come to life to you. And it will, because it is powerful. But then again, where is our heart at? That will determine whether you enjoy and you delight spending time in the word. Let us turn to Jeremiah. See, if we do not commit to God, we will find other gods to be committed to. Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2. Question for you, church family, and for myself. Believe me, this study was definitely for me. Because before I stood up over here and I asked God, like, Lord, what is it that you want me to share with a church member, church family that has knowledge of the word of God, that understands clearly, that are educated, that have degrees, what could I share with a church family that had all these things when I have none? And as I was praying and writing, I was like, Lord, what is it that you want me to study for me? And as I was putting this together, Lord, share with me. This is the one I want you to share. So I'm sharing it. But in Jeremiah 2:2, it says, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thy espousals, when thou wantest after me in the wilderness, in the land that was not shown. Have you lost your first love? Do you remember when you first came to Christ? How was your experience? Do you delight in his word? Do you came early to church for Sabbath school before everyone got here? Do you went to every event that the church hosted? Were you ready to pay your tithe? Were you ready to share God, to share a tract? You were excited because you were on fire. And God is saying, remember in your previous experience, the first time that you came to me? Well, that's how I want you. We shouldn't be just like that in the beginning of our walk. A lot of you guys are married. I've only been married here in a couple of months. But I believe I'm still in my honeymoon stage with my husband. And I told him, I was like, if you ever, ever dare stop dating me, you'll be in trouble. I'm your wife, but I want you to date me always. So it's the same thing with a relationship with God. We cannot just take God and be, okay, I'm a Christian, I got baptized, I'm doing everything now. And now I just come and warm up the pews. No, be on fire for Jesus. Study the word. share the word, and preach the word. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah 3. The word of the Lord tells us, they said, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, says the Lord. Have you played the harlot? I'm telling you, the word of God has some words. I was like, oh, I never knew those words were there. Well, yeah, harlot, it's there. Verse 2, lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been lying with in the ways that thou set for them as Arabians in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with a horse, with the whoredoms and with the wickedness. Wherefore, the showers have been withholden, and there had been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead, thou refusest to be ashamed. We have refused to be ashamed. Therefore, the showers have been withholden from us. Question, have you refused to be ashamed of your sins? Or do you call evil good? Question, have you gone with many other lovers and left God? Have you played the harlot? Have you refused the call that the Lord has put in your heart? See, God works in mysterious ways. In each of us, he calls us, return unto me. O Israel, why should you die? He's asking us to live and to let go of all of our other lovers and have just one pure and true love. Let it not be said of you. See, a lot of times, a lot of people come to church, and it's sad. A lot of people come to church, and they just want to watch for faults in the church. And because of things or us Christians, they don't want to come to church. Sister White tells us, your deal is not with what it should be. It is difficult for you to deal justly and to love mercy. You have dishonored the cause of God by your life. You have contended for the truth, but not in a right spirit. You have hindered souls from embracing the truth who otherwise would have done so. They have excused themselves by pointing to the errors and wrongs of professed Sabbath keepers, saying, they are no better than I. They will lie, cheat, exaggerate, get angry, and boasting talk of their own praise. Such a religion as this, I do not want. Thus the unconverted lives of those shortcoming Sabbath keepers make them a stumbling block to sinners. Church family, it's not only you. A lot of us can say, well, it's my body, it's my choice. It's my, what I choose to listen, what I can choose to eat, what I choose to wear, whatever the case may be. Yes, it is ultimately your choice. But do not say that what you do will not affect others. It does. It really does affect, for good or for bad, it affects. You see, when I first came into the church and I was learning just everything, I said something to one of my brothers. And he said, oh, really? I didn't know about that. And I was like, yeah, you know, the Bible says this, 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 and that. And he's like, okay. But he saw me doing it. And he called me out. He called me out. He's like, Yuli, I thought you said that this, this, and that you guys don't do, but yet you're doing it. I don't get it. And then I was like, well, I was trying to excuse myself. Well, you know, I'm young. You know, this is for the older, you know, generation, you know. Yeah, I'm young. I could do these things. But he's like, no. Yuli, whether you're young or old, if the word of God tells you not to do such thing, then why are you doing it? He called me out. I was ashamed. Could I argue with that? No. I wanted to excuse it, but no. And ever since then, that was one thing that God always points back to me. If I preach it, I must live it. So if you are today, you call yourself Seventh-day Adventist, a Christian, then live up to what God has shared with you. We all have room to grow. I'm growing and I'm learning. I'm learning a lot. But now it's up to us what to do with what God has given us. Whether we ignore the convictions that God has given us and we go forward living how we want. Question again, where's your heart at? Who has your most intimate mind? Who do you dwell upon? Who do you like to talk about? When the law of God is written in the heart, it will be exhibited in a pure and holy life. The commandments of God are no dealt beaters. They are spirit and life bringing, the imagination and even the thoughts into subjections to the will of Christ. The heart in which they are written will keep with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. All who love Jesus and keep the commandments will seek to avoid the very appearance of evil, not because they are constrained thus to do, but because they are copying a pure model and feel averse to everything contrary to the law written in their hearts. They will not feel self-sufficient, but their trust will be in God, who alone will keep them from sin and impurity. The atmosphere surrounding them is pure. They will not corrupt their own souls or the souls of others. It is their pleasure to deal justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before their God. Do not change the outward appearance. Allow God to do that. Let God change the inside out. Because if you and I try by forcing it, sadly, in days, in months, or maybe in years, you'll be out. Because when we force things and try to put the law of God in, not to do this, not to do that, or why I can't do this, why I can't do that, there is no love in that. It is God that gives that and puts that in our hearts. To do everything what He says, if God says so, I will do it. It is your own personal relationship with God that will push you to do what's right and not, and it will not be legalist. As I finish, where's your heart at? Have you left your first love? Have you gone to other gods? Have you put man's opinion above the word of God? Where's your heart at? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you so much for your word. Lord, our desire is to walk with you. Father, help us. Help us, Father, not to put anything before you, no policy, no man's rules, no nothing, but your word alone, Father. Father, I pray that each of us will search our hearts. And if there's any wicked way in us, Father, help us to turn away from those things. Father, put in our hearts a desire for heaven, a desire to spend time with you, a desire to spend time in your word. Help us to fall in love with you, Lord. Because, Lord, if we don't have love for you, then everything that we do will be in vain. Because we will do it just to do it. And Father, we don't want to walk away from you. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us to love you. And because of the result of loving you, we will love one another. That we will not hold things, whatever individuals have done to us, and to push us away. But Father, you have taught us to forgive those that have hurt us, just like you have forgiven us. So Lord, I just pray that you will give us a new heart. Create in us a new heart, Father. And please do not take away your spirit from us. Help us to stand for truth and help us to share Jesus with others. That the light of Jesus may shine in our hearts day and night, Father. That we will be able to walk side by side with you. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.